Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Money Smarts for You. Enhance your lifestyle by taking the positive path towards managing your money.
Welcome. I'm Barbie O'Connor, your host for the Money Smarts for You show. After years of working with clients, helping them save, preserve, and grow their assets, I wrote the book Money Smarts for You, The Basics. I want teens, college students, millennials, growing families, and others to have a chance to learn the essentials that everyone needs to know about money in their adult lives. This show is your chance to ask me about the financial topics that affect your everyday life. If you have questions or thoughts about what you'd like to hear about on future shows, feel free to email me at barbie@moneysmartsforyou.com. Did you just inherit some money? Have the oil fields been good to you? Did you make a big trade in the stock market and brag about it? Did you make a donation in honor of your best friend to the charity of your choice? Win the lottery? If so, you probably had requests for money coming from all kinds of people and all kinds of organizations. Today, I'm going to go over how to handle the five situations when people ask you for money. 1, telephone solicitations. Is this request something you want to consider seriously? We all get the dinnertime solicitation call from this or that fraternal organization, disease of the month, or latest natural disaster. With the rise of identity theft scams, phishing expeditions, and phony charities, my rule of thumb is to politely say no. You can do this by saying, thank you for your call. I only donate to organizations I already know, or organizations I volunteer for, or organizations I research thoroughly. You can also add, my budget for charity is complete for this month or this year. Finish up with, please remove me from your call list. These calls are designed to take advantage of your impulsive desire to help others in need. Do not give in to these selling strategies, as it may do more damage to you than you know. 2, requests from a friend. If this is a request from a friend, how will this affect your friendship? As for old friends you haven't heard from in 20 years who just happen to call you after you inherit money from dear Aunt Millie, certainly you can catch up with them and find out what they're doing, but beware of any questions about real estate, vacation homes, or your residence that they ask you. Who knows when they might show up on your doorstep looking for a free place to stay or dinner on you. Also be wary of bragging about how successful you've been or how much money you inherited. With so much information readily available on the internet, your comments may be a mere confirmation of what they were hoping for, someone to borrow from, blackmail, or burglarize. Keep the topic on friendly terms, kids, pets, family, hobbies, things you all used to do together. You may hear about their latest surgery, how they've been laid up for months, or how much their medical bills have been, all topics to lend credence to their need for money from you. When they ask or hint around, is this a gift you want to seriously consider? You might ask something like this. You've been through a lot this past few years. I can only hope things improve for you in the future. Right now, I have my own obligations to take care of, so I'm not in a place where I can help you financially. Call me anytime if you need someone to talk to about what's going on in your life. I'm a really good listener. Growing up, my father reminded me of the axiom, neither a borrower nor a lender be, when it comes to friends. He mentioned that when you lend friends money, you cease being friends. They become the borrower, and you are now the lender. You will change the nature of your friendship the minute you loan the money, and chances are you won't see that person again. Or if you do, it will be accidental, and don't be surprised if they dash away in a hurry for an important appointment the next time you see them, or that their phone number changes or is disconnected when you try to contact them later in order to be repaid. If you want to help a friend out, then consider making a gift to them for the amount they need or for an amount you think might be helpful in their current circumstance. Yes, you may still damage the friendship because of the other party's pride, but you won't have the expectation of repayment standing between you. If you insist on lending the money, then only lend what you are willing to give because you may never get the money or the friendship back. 3, when your children ask you for money. It may have started at the grocery store when your little one asked you for money to buy a comic book, From there, it might have been for the cool new tennis shoes that you saw together at the mall and every other teen was wearing. Now your teen is going off to college and they want money for a car. Or maybe they've graduated, have a good job, just got married, and want the money for a down payment on a house. And you are stymied about what to do about this request for money. Yes, you are partly responsible because you never taught them to be responsible with their own money, requiring that they learn to work and save for what they wanted, spending their money, not yours. You got them in the habit of asking for money, and you gave it to them for whatever they wanted. Now the amounts are bigger, and the items they want to buy are bigger. What to do now? If your child is approaching 21 years of age, it is time for tough love. Do they have a job? Are they earning money? Have they learned to budget? If not, get them a copy of my book, Money Smarts for You, The Basics, available on Amazon, and ask them to read it before you go further in this discussion about lending or giving the money. When you're dealing with loaning money to children or giving money to children, you have to consider the other children you have, your own personal financial plans, and what you leave behind if you get run over by a bus right after you give that money or make that loan. You also have to consider the tax laws, which have a limit to the amount of money you can give any one individual each year. Right now, tax laws allow any individual to get another individual $14,000 per year tax-free. More than that will result in the giver having to pay federal gift tax. Now, there is a way to get around this, which is by drafting an agreement or having an understanding that there is a loan on whatever it is you're giving them, and then you forgive the loan each year to the maximum that's allowed. But we'll talk about that in a little while. A friend of mine was asked by her son to make him a loan of $20,000 for the down payment on a townhouse he and his wife of 6 months wanted to buy. Although she had the money, she was perplexed by the request. Both members of the couple had investment accounts, which had come out in the prenup negotiations. Both of them had good jobs, and yet here they were asking her for money. She thought also about her other two children, both adults, who had never asked her for money but could do so at any time. The loan would have been messy since it would have to be documented and addressed if the payments were in arrears, and there would be an issue of whether she wanted the townhouse to be collateral and where her loan would be in the pecking order if the couple defaulted on their mortgage for it. She also had concerns about what would happen if they divorced for some reason. How would she get paid back, and who would pay her back, her son or his soon-to-be ex-wife? Her son grew agitated with her when he called and made the request because she did not agree right away, mentioning that she wanted to think about it and discuss it with her husband of many years. Her son said they had a pre-approved mortgage but mentioned they didn't want to have to liquidate any of their own securities to make the down payment. My friend was a bit annoyed since fortunately she had cash on hand, but had she not, did her kids expect her to sell securities and take the tax hit for their benefit? During the 4-day period that it took her to figure out how she wanted to handle this, she had more phone calls from her son than ever before, but the quality of them was on the edgy, angry side. One plus to it all was that he actually answered his phone when she called, rather than letting it go to voicemail as he usually did and then later calling her back. After reviewing their financial situation and looking over the information on the townhouse, including location, housing demand in the neighborhood, and amenities, my friend and her husband decided that they would not make a loan to their kids for the down payment. However, they did decide that they would make a gift to each of their children and spouses for $10,000 each for that year and that year alone. The total cash outlay was $40,000 for three adult children and one spouse, with the husband and wife both making gifts they complied with the tax law. All of the children were cautioned that this might not happen again, so to enjoy the money or save it for something important later on in their lives. Observing how quickly the relationship with her son changed during the 4-day negotiation period, my friend decided she wanted to help, but she didn't want a loan to stand between them. Although she would have been perfectly right to have said no and told her son that they should use their own investments to pay for the down payment, she realized that this was a step she wanted him to take and that it gave her a chance to treat each of her children equally so there would be no hard feelings that one child got more than another. If you find you're not in a position to make a gift to your child or that you feel it is time for your child to stand on his or her own then say something like this. I don't feel it is workable for me to give or loan you money at this time. If you would like my guidance on the best way for you to borrow the money from a financial institution to make this happen, I'll be happy to help you. If your child is angry with you, then this is an indication that they still feel entitled to your assets and they think you should be footing the bill for their lifestyle. If your child accepts your decision, then they are financially mature and they have been testing the waters or thinking it might have been a good investment for you. Money mars relationships, so the sooner you can wean your children from depending on your financial gifts, the better your relationship will be as they move through adulthood. If you decide you are willing to be the lender, then what you need to consider doing is make your own document or have a lawyer draw a document that documents the loan. It needs to have a date. It needs to name the amount. It needs to name an interest rate, which has to be sufficient enough to meet the IRS criteria that this is indeed a loan and not a gift. And it needs to list the term of the loan. Is the loan a 5-year loan, a 2-year loan, a 10-year loan, a 15-year loan? Also, how often do you expect payment? Do you want to be paid every month? Do you want to be paid on the first of the month? Do you want to be paid every 6 months? These are things that need to be stipulated in the agreement. Are the payments going to be only interest, or are they also going to include principal? Are they going to be structured like a mortgage, or is all the money going to be due at the very end and a balloon payment? You also need to decide if you want an asset listed as collateral, whether that's an automobile or a house, or if it's just this will be a personal reconnaissance type of loan. By the way, personal reconnaissance loans, the interest is not deductible, so that's something that you may want to consider for your child that you're lending money to. Be specific and have a very clear idea of what it is that you're trying to do. Also, you may want to change your testamentary documents, like your will, to have a clause in it about how any debt that is outstanding to your children are to be treated. For example, will they be deducted from the total assets that are to be allocated to that particular child? Or are those loans considered to be forgiven? Or are they to be fully repaid to the estate? These are all kinds of things that you have to consider if you're going to loan money, whether it is to your children or to your friends. It's a business deal, so make it be like a business. Number four, when employees ask you for money, no matter how large the company is that you work for or how many people you supervise, at some point or another, a coworker or a subordinate may ask you to lend them money. Your company may have rules against this practice, so check your personnel rules before you decide how to handle this request. Like a friendship, your relationship with the borrower will change. And since you work together, this may strain your working relationship, making it difficult to function on the same team. Years ago, my assistant asked me for money since she lived paycheck to paycheck, and her son had recently moved in with her, driving up her expenses. When she asked me, I told her I needed to think about it and that I would meet with her the next day to discuss it. That's one thing. Remember not to impulsively say, sure, I'll loan you the money. Give yourself a chance to think about not only can you afford to do this, but how you feel about it and how it's going to affect your feelings for that individual. This assistant had worked for me loyally for 5 years, making every effort to answer my phone, type my letters, and help my clients who knew her. There were no corporate policies against it. I also knew that any day she could be transferred to another advisor to work for him or her. The amount of money she asked me for was not insignificant. I knew if I loaned it to her, it would probably never be paid back to me because her life was incredibly chaotic with children who were in and out of her life, always asking for a handout from their mom. As a result, I decided that I would give her the money and tell her I did not expect her to pay me back. When I shared that with her and wrote her the check, she cried, a response I did not expect from her. Years later, after she'd left the firm where we had worked together, she contacted me to tell me she had the money to pay me back. I was pleasantly surprised, but I wanted to leave our friendship intact, so I told her how pleased I was for her, that her life had settled down and that her kids were now responsible adults, and that she did not need to pay me back, as that money was a gift to her at the time. If you decide to lend money to others you work with, remember you are likely not to get paid back. So only lend the amount you can afford to lose, or if you wish, make it a gift, keeping the tax laws in mind. Number five. Oh, there is another area where employees will ask you for money, and that is if there's a birthday party or there's a wedding shower or this or that. And if you are the supervisory manager, you may want to decide that rather than having all the employees be nickeled and dimed every month, being asked to give $5 here and $10 here, which over a year could amount to, you know, upwards of $200 to $500, you may want to select a day every month, like the first Wednesday or the last Friday, that is the day to celebrate all the special events that are coming up in people's lives during that month. It saves a lot of people money. It also allows you to budget time. So that's something that if you're the boss, you can think about doing. Or if you're not, maybe suggest to the group as a whole. Number five, when charities ask you for money, the request to give to a charity may come in the mail, via telephone, in your email box, via Twitter, in a Facebook post or the evening news, or in person. Be prepared for the request that comes from a good friend, a valued employee, your boss, or a stranger. One night, my husband and I were at a local Mexican food restaurant enjoying our meal, and a man we both knew came up to our table and started to ask us for money, a sizable amount of money, for a new museum that was in the works. A more brash approach had never been experienced by either of us. Fortunately, my husband had his prepared response ready and kindly said, "You have my address. Please send me more information about the project, and I will look it over. Much of my budget for charity has been allocated for this year, but I'll see what I might be able to do." My husband has a budget line item in his expense plan for charitable contributions, and he reviews his expenditures regularly, diversifying his giving among different types of charities and at different types of the year. You may wish to add a line item for charity in your budget, considering your means and your attitude about supporting your community. In doing so, think about what kinds of charities you want to support: the arts, education, social services, healthcare, religion, research. Once you've figured out what types of charities interest you, then think about whether you want your support to be spent locally or nationally. Most national charities like the Red Cross or Salvation Army or Girl Scouts have locally run affiliates, focus on the local community to execute their mission. If you want to support your local community, then find out about the leading charities in your area that focus on the issues you are interested in. Websites that can help you with your search are charitynavigator.com or guidestar.com. Both can provide you information about the mission, effectiveness, and financial management of the organization. Now that you have a budget for your charitable giving and a list of the charities that address the issues that matter to you, and do so in an effective and financially efficient manner, then you will be prepared for that spur-of-the-moment request. To protect yourself from identity theft, go directly to the charity's website or mail your check to the address shown as their official address on their website or Charity Navigator or GuideStar website. Rather than making an impulsive decision to text or click on the link provided on an email, make it a conscious choice to give to the charities you feel deserve your hard-earned money. If you are approached personally by someone you know and they're asking for a gift to a charity you support, then let them know you will be giving, but do not hesitate to ask that information be provided to you so you know what the funds will be used for, if not being used for general operating funding, like are they having a capital campaign? Are they raising money to provide backpacks and back-to-school support for children? Things like that. If you're asked to give to a charity not on your list, then politely decline, either by stating that your charitable funds have been expended or that this charity is not on the list of charities you give to, or that you aren't able to give this year, but maybe you can consider them next year if they meet your criteria. As much as we would all like to be able to give money to anyone in need, it is not always practical to do so. Someone who tries to shame you into making a gift or who gets angry with you for not acquiescing to his or her request is not a person who respects you. It is likely that more is at stake for them than is apparent to you at the time that they make the ask. I hope these few tips are helpful to you whenever anyone asks you for money, whether it is a loan, a gift, or a contribution. Thank you for joining me today for the Money Smarts for You show. please email me your questions or thoughts to Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at moneysmartsforyou.com. That's M-O-N-E-Y-S-M-A-R-T-S, the number four, the letter U.com, and we will cover them in future shows. Remember, take care of your money to take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at moneysmartsforyou.com. Like us on Facebook, buy the book on Amazon, and remember to subscribe to the show.